Hi, my name is Chris Brennan, and you're listening to the Astrology Podcast. You can find the show at theastrologypodcast.com, and you can also listen to us on iTunes. This is the 21st episode of the show, and today I'll be interviewing professional tarot card reader Bridget Esselmont of BiddyTarot.com, and we'll be talking about some of the parallels between the professional practice of astrology and tarot. So Bridget, welcome to the show.
Hi, Chris. Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have you on because I'm really, this is kind of new for the show because obviously it's an astrology podcast, but in coming across your work over the course of the past year, I've been really impressed to see somebody else who's involved in another kind of fringe field like astrology and I think tarot are kind of characterized as sometimes, but who's approaching it in a very professional manner. And so I wanted to have you onto the show to talk to you about what tarot's like for you and what drew you to it, and talk a little bit about your story in pursuing it, as well as the fact that in listening to an interview you did on another podcast, I noticed that there are a lot of parallels between your story and the story that I see a lot of other astrologers have in terms of having something that's a kind of a weird personal hobby that they eventually turn into or pursue as a profession. And I think there's a lot that astrologers could probably learn from you in that respect. So why don't you tell me a little bit about your background or how you got into tarot?
Yeah, so I was around 17 and I was heading off to Germany for a student exchange for like 6 months. And I went with a friend to a tarot reader and I asked, okay, what might I expect on this big adventure? And I got the tarot reader drew like the Emperor card, and she's like, oh, you're going to meet a boyfriend. It's going to be like amazing. I thought, okay, yeah, she must tell this to everyone. But lo and behold, it did. It happened just as she had suggested. And I thought, okay, this is pretty cool. And so from there, I was really inspired to go ahead and learn tarot and learn how to read tarot cards. I've really been self-taught. So I've read, you know, a crazy number of tarot books. I've read lots and lots of stuff on the internet. This was back in sort of the late 1990s. So I was part of like Yahoo groups and all those sort of online forums, just filling my head with as much knowledge as possible about tarot. And at the same time, like I was studying at university, I was doing a Bachelor of Commerce and then later moved into a career around management consulting and human resources. So tarot was this nice little creative kind of spiritual thing that I had on the side to sort of counteract or balance all of that, you know, businessy stuff that I was doing at work and, you know, the structure and corporate and all that at the time, all of that good stuff. But and it's really just growing from there. It was really a passion or a hobby for those first, I'd say, 10 years or so.
Sure. And you started a website at some point early on, but it was mainly just to share notes or other things that you were taking as you were learning?
Yeah, like I think I was just getting really bored of writing essays for university all of the time, and I started hand coding a website. I used I literally used Notepad, and I learned how to do HTML, and I created this website. And I started, you know, sharing what I was learning about the tarot card meanings. And, you know, this is like 15 years ago, and it's now turned into, like, through lots of iterations and revisions and so forth. Now this is kind of what often attracts people into my website now, is because I share so many different ways to interpret the tarot cards.
Sure.
So it started sort of from that sort of small and humble place many years ago.
Sure. And that makes sense. And now it's basically one of the biggest, I mean, it seems that at least to me as an outsider, is one of the biggest or one of the main resources in the tarot community in terms of sites that are well-respected that people to go to, right?
Yeah. I mean, thank you. But yeah, I think certainly from the perspective of like a person running that website, because I mean, you've got tarot.com and that's obviously a huge website.
Sure.
But that's quite company driven. But I mean, to give you like an indication of size, in the last year, I've had 1.5 million people visit the website. Like, that just blows my mind.
Yeah. That's a huge amount of traffic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you have this other career, and you're essentially a successful business person, but then you had this side hobby that eventually went from just a hobby into something that you really decided you wanted to pursue more seriously as a profession at some point, right?
So I was, you know, tracking along with my corporate career and doing really well in that. And then in 2009, I had my first baby. I had my first daughter, and which meant having time out of like typical working life. And it's, and, you know, waiting for like your baby to wake up, or, you know, just watching your baby play on like on their mat kind of gets a little boring sometimes. Sure. And I was like, oh, what can I do with my time? I know I'll sort of explore my tarot business a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And over time, I started to just connect with it more and more. And then I think it was in 2010 when I read Tim Ferriss's book called The 4-Hour Work Week. Now, I've never actually had a 4-hour work week.
Sure.
So I don't know that that's possible, but I really appreciated his core principles, which was about building a business around something that you love and doing it in a way that's authentic, but also doing it in a way that's smart by, like, you know, automating things or getting online and so on. So from that, I was inspired to create a number of ebooks, and that was kind of the start of me thinking more like a business than a hobby. So I built some ebooks. I started driving a little bit more traffic to my site just by doing really, really basic SEO. Mm-hmm. And I started to see traffic increase, you know, almost instantly from just some small tweaks. And the income coming in was increasing as well. And so by the time I had my second child in 2011, I was seeing a lot more potential in this as, you know, a source of income. And finally, by 2012, I matched the amount of income I was getting in my part-time work. So I was working 3 days then in a bank. I was getting the same amount coming through my business. And I thought, right, this is a really good sign. I can indeed quit my corporate job and I can pursue my business full-time. And since doing that, you know, it's just opened up this huge, huge space and opportunity and potential to grow the business. And it's just continually growing, which I feel very blessed and, you know, grateful for.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, did you have any trepidation about that? Or, I mean, one of the issues or one of the parallels that is kind of interesting to me is that sometimes one of the things that comes up is just in terms of what people around you think about, you know, leaving what was otherwise a stable or, let's say, successful career in the corporate world and pursuing something like tarot full time. Sometimes people, at least in the astrological community, they'll think, you know, has this person gone crazy jumping into astrology full time? Or maybe their friends or family won't understand if that's something that, even though they're passionate about, it may look kind of weird from the outside. Did you meet any sort of resistance or have any considerations like that?
No, not at all. No, I'm kidding. Of course I did. Yes.
Sure.
And, you know, like I was so worried about, how could I say, like, image or like other people's perception of what I was doing. And just like you said, you know, I was thinking, oh my goodness, people are going to think I'm bananas for like going from like, you know, a successful corporate career into becoming a tarot reader. Like, has she gone like crazy?
Right.
And particularly, you know, I had invested in like another 8 years or something of postgraduate studies. So
okay.
Like I had just created this, like I was really committed to my corporate life, but suddenly I'm jumping ship. And I thought, oh, am I letting go of everything that I've built up over, you know, these last 10, 15 years in that corporate world? And also, yeah, I was worried that, yeah, people would just think I was a complete flake. and, you know, like, what if it just wasn't successful? Could I go back into my, that kind of profession again?
Sure.
Yeah, there was a lot of sort of worry. But at the end of the day, I thought, nah, I've just got to get on and just do this. And, you know, I think like, I do feel really proud when I can say, like, now I'm earning 2 to 3 times what I was in the corporate world. And like, when I share that with people, they are just astounded. Like, how does tarot help you earn, like, you know, a multi six figure income? I wouldn't have thought it was possible either. But I think when you get, you know, when you get things right, when you're really authentic about what you're doing, you're reaching your community in meaningful ways and helping and supporting them along their journey, I think that is when you create like abundance, not just like it's abundance in your life, like from a financial perspective, but also abundance in the people's lives that you're serving as well. So I've tried to really just reassure myself, like, this is something that's really cool and I should be really proud of this. And also I've noticed, you know, as my business has grown, so many of the things that I was learning, you know, throughout my corporate life are now becoming very relevant in my current business. So I'm growing a team. I've got, I don't know, sort of 3 or 4 team members right now. So obviously HR is coming into play.
Sure.
You know, when I was working in management consulting, I did a lot of business development work and, you know, knowing how to, you know, I guess that sort of speaks to the sales aspect. Presentation skills, like all of this stuff actually comes into play, even though we're dealing with something that's completely different and diverse to what I was doing before.
Yeah, and that's often an issue for people that are in these types of fields, is that usually they don't have that kind of business background, and so they really just come up learning about astrology or tarot, but sometimes they have a hard time figuring out how to market themselves or how to present themselves within that field.
Yeah, I do. I see that a lot. And because I think the types of people that get attracted to tarot and astrology are typically more creative, or they're investing their energy in the tarot and astrology side, but not so much in the business side. And like, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's great, you know, and, but if you're wanting to create that sort of serious business, make this a primary source of income and, you know, do really well at it, I really feel like you have to pay attention to the business side. Otherwise, sure, it won't come to fruition. You know, it's an astrology business or it's a tarot business. Therefore, you've got to have a foot in both camps.
Sure. Yeah. And that there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. If this is something that you're genuine about and that you genuinely are doing good work and investing yourself in it, that you don't necessarily have to be sort of poor or destitute just because you're pursuing something that you love, that you can sort of have both at the same time.
Yeah, and I'm curious, like this comes up a lot in the tarot community of like, you know, whether you should indeed be charging for your services. Does that come up in the astrology community as well?
Yeah, it comes up in questions of like how much to charge and whether you should charge and when, or even people maybe and wanting something for free or sort of having expectations along those lines, because it's often thought to be or often sometimes portrayed as like a more of a spiritual discipline of some sort, or that there, because there's the spiritual or religious undertones, that there's something wrong with charging for that or something to that effect.
Yes. Okay. So I'm so interested to hear that's also playing out in the astrology community, because it is prevalent in the tarot community. And I just think it's absolute hogwash because, like, you know, like I totally get, like, it's beautiful that we've got this gift and we can share it with people, right? But think about like a lawyer or a surgeon, like they have gifts as well. And they're talented, but would we ever ask a surgeon, oh, could you just, you know, like cut me open for free? Because like, that's your gift and you should be sharing that with everyone. Like, we just wouldn't do that. Right. And even, you know, the request for like a free reading, just to like, see if we have a connection. You wouldn't walk into your local doctor and say, hey, just want to work out if, you know, like my body and what, like, you know, what's wrong with me. How about a free consult? Like, we just don't do that. And I think the more that we can sort of set that image around tarot and astrology, that we are professionals. It's about, you know, the exchange of energy, and part of that exchange is often a financial exchange for what we're doing. There's nothing wrong, in my opinion, about charging for readings and treating it like a business.
Sure.
I mean, also, if you think about, like, if you've ever done, like, given a free reading, oftentimes people don't appreciate or value that reading either. They haven't made the investment in the reading, and therefore they might just go, oh, that was interesting, all right, and then just carry on. Whereas someone who's paid, like, $100, $200 and has had to really think about, like, okay, I'm giving over this money, I'm investing in this reading, I want to make sure I'm asking the right questions. They've put so much energy into that reading already and will take so much more out of it. It's almost like you could argue it's a disservice to your clients by, like, giving a free reading. I might get in trouble for saying that, but...
Sure. No, that makes a lot of sense. And definitely reframing it and realizing that, you know, that these people, whether you're a tarot reader or an astrologer, what have you, that... when you're going to somebody like that, you're kind of paying them for the years of experience and of research that they did in cultivating some expertise in their chosen field, and that there's something inherently valuable about that, about the time that the person invested in cultivating their knowledge in that area, and that they have something valuable to share with you, which is just as valuable as, like, a tangible product or what have you.
Yes. And then I would even add to that, like, think of the value of your insight when you have, like, you give a reading to someone else. So let's say someone comes to you going, okay, I'm at a crossroads in my career. What should I do? And your reading helps them to see a whole bunch of things that they haven't seen before. And now they're crystal clear about, okay, yep, I know which path I need to take. Now, what is the value of that interaction? That's huge, right? Sure. To help someone see, you know, the different way to go in their career and to do something now that's way more fulfilling. Like, that's, you can't even put a price tag on it. So I think, yes, we've certainly got to acknowledge, like, the experience and energy that we bring into it as readers, but also there's a huge amount of value in the insight that we give and then the transformation that we often inspire with our clients.
Sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, it's part of what I think... I know an author you're familiar with, Brendan Burchard, calls the expert industry of these different people, how this has become like a billion-dollar industry of people who have expertise in some area and have the ability to help other people with their knowledge, and that that's a valid thing to sort of put yourself out there with and to offer to people as a service, in some sense, is your expertise and your ability to help them or to help them make decisions or change their life or what have you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm really disagreeing with that, because I think that is, yeah, it's very powerful. And yeah, I mean, like, I've just finished up, before we jumped on the call together, I was just wrapping up a 6-week course I've done with, a group of tarot students to help them read the tarot. And you know, like, for me, it's me just sort of doing a bit of a download about what I know about tarot and organizing it in a, you know, a way that makes sense. But it's so valuable to the folks who are in that course, because, you know, they can sort of tap into my insight about the tarot. And I know that you do it too, Chris, like with your astrology courses, like, you can take everything that you know, and that's like, you could probably have like years and years of courses, but take everything that you know and share that with people who can then, you know, take that and use it in their own very special ways as well.
Sure. Yeah. And that's an important part of, I think what was interesting or fascinating to me about seeing your approach and seeing many that you're doing many of the same things that I'm doing is that it's not all just about, if you're going to jump into these fields as a profession, it's not just about doing consultations 24/7, but you're also supplementing it with other things like teaching or doing webinars, you know, interacting with people through social networking and so on and so forth, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because, yeah, I don't know about you, but I could not sit here and do, you know, 8 to 10 readings every single day, because that's probably what I'd need to do in order to make, you know, a full-time income, but I would just be completely burnt out. So I think, yeah, if this is something where you want to make it your primary source of income, and perhaps your lifestyle needs are such that you need a certain income level, then, yeah, I strongly believe you need to sort of diversify and, you know, have different ways that people can connect with you, not just through those one-on-one readings.
And so what are some of the things that you do in order with tarot, or that you offer in terms of that, in order to sort of diversify what you have to offer?
Yeah, I've got quite a few different streams. So certainly ebooks and digital products. So I've also got some meditations that I offer. The great thing with the ebooks is, you know, yes, it takes sort of 6-12 months to put together an ebook that, you know, you feel really good about. But once that's up there, that's something that produces passive income from that point. I mean, it's a little bit debatable as to whether that's passive income, because you have to do a lot of work beforehand.
Sure.
But, you know, that's a great way of sort of getting your message out, helping people, but doing it in a way that's quite automated in terms of distributing that information.
And that's interesting because in my last episode, I was talking to an astrologer who just published a book, and one of the things we discussed was the changing how this huge transformation that the publishing industry is going through, and this choice that a lot of astrologers have at this point, where they can either self-publish and make more money, but not necessarily have as big of distribution, at least in terms of print distribution, or they can publish with a big publisher, but basically make no money, but have much greater exposure. And it's interesting how you've kind of circumvented both of those, or at least you've gotten the best of both worlds with your approach, because you've built up your notoriety or your website traffic, but then you're publishing your books as ebooks in order to get the distribution out and not have like a lot of overhead in the process.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I've looked into getting, say, my ebooks onto Kindle, onto Amazon. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my ebooks sell at, let's say $39. So the Ultimate Guide to Tarot Card Meanings, that's at $39. And my cost of sale is so low because we've got a beautifully automated process now, and it's delivered to the customer straight away. We typically don't have to touch anything along that process. On the other hand, if I was to sell on Kindle, I think the going rate for a Kindle book is $10 or less. And I'm pretty sure, I think your commission, you might get maybe up to 70% if you're lucky.
Right.
So we're talking like maybe $5, $6, $7 versus $39 for each ebook sale. And yeah, I just I don't feel good about that. And for something that you've created, like spent so much time and effort on, and that you know has a lot of value in it, to only get $5 for that, just it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
But I do acknowledge like that potential, say on Amazon or in bookstores, to reach a much wider audience. So it, you know, it always comes down to your own strategy and what's right for your business.
Sure. Well, the strategy, I mean, it's just been impressive seeing you do that. I know that my girlfriend Lisa really enjoys, loves your book, actually. I think it's called The Ultimate Tarot Guide. Is that the title?
Yeah, that must be for the tarot card meanings. That's good. Yeah, that's nice to hear that she's enjoying it.
Yeah. So it just sort of pushed home the point to me that's sort of an effective strategy, and it's an interesting way of dealing with that issue, just with the change in things and being able to take more control over your own productive output by releasing ebooks essentially directly to your market audience.
Yeah. And in fact, the other thing that was sort of preventing, like stopping me or holding me back, was, let's say if I took that Ultimate Guide to Tarot Card Meanings, I took it to a publisher and said, all right, I want to turn it into a book, and I was lucky enough for them to say yes.
Right.
It would mean that they have ownership over that content. So all of the content I've got on my site that attracts, you know, the majority of my visitors, I would have to take off the site. Now, that would just be like bananas. That's, you know,
yeah.
A lot of my business gone. So, yeah, for me, it just doesn't make any sense. And even like, for my other ebook, which is Tarot Foundations 31 Days to Read Tarot with Confidence, again, I'd lose control over the content, and I wouldn't be able to republish that on my site.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think there's a lot of things to sort of work out. But for me right now, ebooks, yep, the way to go.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because just ownership over one's, you know, content is a huge deal. And I've seen some of the contract, I guess, that some of the bigger publishers make you sign, and they definitely do not favor the author, at least in that way. So one of the other things I was curious about, and we already touched upon it a little bit, but I guess you mentioned in this other interview I was listening to about how you talked about how some tarot readers are trying to present a different appearance to the public, or to sort of change the cliche sort of image that tarot readers sometimes invoke when people mention that as a profession, of in terms of the crystal ball or the fortune telling type image. And I thought that was really interesting, just because there's been a similar movement over the past few decades in the astrological community as well, in order to sort of get rid of that image and to try and put forward a much more professional appearance to the public, and in order to show people that this is an actual legitimate profession, and there are, you know, real people who are not just crazy people who are pursuing it or offering it, but it's something that we actually take very seriously and believe works and is effective in helping people. And I was just curious, I mean, because you're somebody who I was impressed by the way that you come off as a professional in that field. And I was just curious if you could talk a little bit about that in terms of how that's been for you, or what that's like in terms of the tarot community in general, in terms of that movement.
I want to see like way more of that. Like, I want to see more and more, you know, tarot readers coming out being like super professional, super proud of like our industry and the work we do. And like, I'm definitely seeing some great role models, that's for sure. I always remember like when I, probably about 5-10 years ago, I was reading at like a psychic fair rather. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, you know, I was in my 20s and I thought, what do I wear? Like, do I have to like go and like look all mysterious, and, you know, maybe I should have crystals and like bangles and everything. I thought, nah, that's not me.
Right.
I would just sit there feeling completely awkward. So I turned up in my jeans and a nice top and, you know, a scarf. That was my sort of like intermediary, you know, trying to look slightly mystical, but still remaining who I was.
Right.
But I, you know, it just sort of reminded me that, nah, you know what? Like, I just need to front up as who I am. And the more I think that we can do that, that we can be like authentic and real and just who we are, the better, because it just shows that, you know, these fields of tarot and astrology and other related fields, you know, you can be normal. With like, it is normal. And there's nothing spooky or like mysterious about it. So, and I think like I've certainly got feedback from my community that people really appreciate that I just front up as who I am. I don't try and put on like that sort of mysterious look or those kinds of things. And It's interesting because then I seem to attract a lot of people who are either in, you know, in the corporate world or have been in the corporate world who are now starting to embrace tarot. And I think they can really resonate with my story in that respect as well. And yeah, I just hope that what it means is that overall, you know, we can normalize tarot and we can normalize astrology.
Sure. Yeah. And it's something that, you know, I'm sure it's the same in both fields in terms of having some concern about how other people view you because of some people's perceptions of these as not legitimate fields, or fields especially where, for example, skeptics often try to portray astrologers and tarot card readers as deliberately misleading people, or deliberately employing things like cold reading or what have you, rather than actually legitimately demonstrating to the validity or using something effectively and getting information from either astrology or from tarot, just from that. And I guess that's one of the reasons why at least in the astrological community, there has been this move towards professionalism in order to, on the one hand, change the stereotypes, but on the other hand, also push back against this and almost be extra careful not to give off this air of lacking in legitimacy or what have you.
Absolutely. And, you know, like, it was interesting because I was in New York earlier this year, and like previously to going to New York, I thought, like, I wonder why do people think tarot readers are scammy? Like, why is there so much like fear around this? Mm-hmm. But I stepped into New York City and I'm not kidding, like every like second corner had the neon signs, tarot reader, psychic, and like these little sandwich boards out the front. And I thought, oh, they look, I'm not sure like how, you know, authentic or ethical they might be. And I was speaking to a lady who lives in New York, and she like lives like where there's a neon sign reader, like just underneath her apartment. Mm-hmm. And she had been to this lady and she said, oh, it's like totally unethical. You know, it's like the $200 to remove the curse. And always, you know, always like standing out the front of her shop going, hey, I know something about you, and come in and have a reading. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is why people think tarot readers are scammers. And actually, I don't blame them, because like that's the image that's being presented out there. Mm-hmm. And it's sad in a way, because it does us a disservice. Like the folks who are doing this, you know, authentically, it does us a disservice. So I don't know if there's a way that we could just like eliminate all those neon signs and, you know, the unethical types of readers.
Sure. Yeah, it's like that's a constant debate in the astrological community. How do you get rid of things like that? Because it's like it's not something that's very prevalent. It's actually surprising given how much skeptics and other people outside of the community assume that all astrologers are scam artists or what have you. It's actually surprising once you're in the community and you go around meeting people that you really don't run into that, or you don't run into people that are not serious about it, or not actually genuinely trying to determine information just from astrology. So that when you do run into a person who's kind of sketchy or who seems to be involved in some quasi nefarious practices, it's almost shocking. Or at least when I ran into somebody like that recently, I was actually almost shocked by it, because it made me realize that, like you said, that does exist and it is a thing that happens. But it's kind of a tricky thing to address in these types of fields, because they're already on the fringe of society and they're already sort of across the board not looked on very well. So it's hard to, I mean, what the astrologers do is the astrologers have had various efforts to institute like standards, like either testing standards or certification standards, in order to set like a bar for how much a certain amount of knowledge that you have to know in order to call yourself or to have a certain professional designation within the field. But that's been sort of not terribly effective. I wouldn't necessarily say. Is there anything like that in tarot? Are there like any bodies that try to offer certification or training aside from just the sort of individual ones?
Yeah, there have been a couple of associations that do certification. There's always, though, some very strong opinions around certification.
Sure.
Particularly, like, with tarot, is quite subjective. And I know, like, my perspective is to respect different styles of reading. And it's hard to say when something's right or wrong, mm-hmm. Apart from the obvious, you know, the $200 remove my curse fee,
sure,
kind of thing. But yeah, look, they do exist, but yeah, it's a hotly debated topic, and I'm not sure that that's necessarily the answer, like, for how do we make this, you know, how do we make it a legitimate kind of industry. I always just think, like, you know, sometimes I can overwhelm myself thinking about, like, oh no, there's all these like dodgy readers out there, what do we do? But at the end of the day, I think you just got to bring your energy right back to yourself and think, how can I be a great role model of tarot or of astrology? How can I show the people that I'm already connecting with that this is legitimate and this is authentic? Because I think that's the piece that you can influence and control the most.
Yeah, definitely. And that's also the conclusion that I've come to, is just doing the best you can in order to be genuine and in order to provide a genuine service and be completely above board with it is probably the most effective thing you can do, because then people, you know, both inside and outside of your own community will see that. And it might, you know, if a person has a certain sort of preconception about what your field involves, if they see you doing something that's just diametrically opposite to that in a positive way, then that might just in and of itself change their perspective on what you're doing and what the rest of the people in your field are doing. Yeah. Mm. So, I mean, that's one of the things that one of the reasons, again, just to sort of reiterate, that I wanted to talk to you, just because you really, the work that you do really strikes me as somebody within your field that's definitely putting that forward in a very positive way and putting forward a very positive image in terms of representing tarot readers and showing people that this is something legitimate, and that legitimate people that otherwise have, you know, are well-educated and have stable backgrounds and what have you, can become interested in this and find some meaning or value to it, and then decide that they want to share that with others, and that, that they can do that in a legitimate way.
Mm, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So, let's see. So the other things, I mean, one of the last things I want to talk about, or one of the other things I meant to mention, is just, I've also been interested in and impressed by the way that you're, in addition to obviously doing consultations and doing classes and teaching tarot, one of the things that you've started to move into recently as well, or in the past few years, is trying to help other people who want to become professional tarot readers to sort of make a more graceful, or make the transition into that field. And that's something that you're sort of actively pursuing at this point by coaching people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I can't really shut up about business and tarot coming together. So like, I get such a kick out of helping people take all of like their, you know, tarot gifts, tarot talents, and then translate that into, a real business that can help them like sustain the lifestyle that they want. And, you know, like, interestingly enough, it's not just tarot readers that I'm working with now. I've worked with astrologers. I've worked with a numerologist. I'm actually working with a health coach right now who's building his health coaching business. So I think, you know, just I've just got such a passion for building like authentic businesses. And it's been great to sort of be able to share that. And up until this point, it's been mostly through one-on-one coaching, which I really enjoy. But what I've noticed through that one-on-one coaching is that there are some really common issues that people are struggling with when they're setting up their businesses or growing their businesses. And that has inspired me to create a six-month program that sort of covers those bases that I know, you know, kind of like fundamental or essential pillars that need to be put in place in order to grow like a thriving business online. And so, yeah, that's Grow Your Tarot Business Online, which is coming up in October.
Okay, so you're just launching that program, this program, on October 1st?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And if I know you've got like, we're talking here to a bunch of astrologers, and you're thinking, tarot? What? I don't do tarot. What are you talking about? but, you know, these kinds of business principles do apply to, most businesses. And I think the important thing here is that it's about, again, bringing your authentic self into your business, creating a business that is professional, ethical, but also connected to, you know, whether it's like sort of the intuitive arts, the healing arts, whatever you want to call it. this kind of information is very helpful. And so like if this is something that is appealing, you know, to the listeners, I would really encourage you to sign up. I've got a couple of free videos or three free videos to help start you thinking about how you might set up your business online and what it is that you need to have in place to help that become a thriving business. So I'm not sure, Chris, do you have show notes, or I can give the URL over on the podcast?
Yeah, I'll definitely include the URL on the page where they'll download the podcast, but you can mention it here as well. That'd be great.
Yeah, cool. So it is a little bit of a mouthful, so pay attention. So it's at tarotfoundations.com/tarot-business-videos. And so you can sign up there. It's absolutely free, and you'll get access to three free training videos to help you build your business online.
One of the things that I think is really amazing about that is what you're offering, in terms of what you're offering, is just that it's so hard to find Like there's tons of like business coaches and business advisors out there, but it's actually surprisingly hard to find somebody who has that background in business and in marketing, but also has personally had the experience of working in a fringe field like tarot, which is so has so many parallels with astrology and other sort of fields like that, that it really gives seems to give you a different perspective in terms of what you need to do in order to both market and put yourself out there, but also to do it genuinely and in a way that's not, you know, somebody coming in as an outside marketer and just imagining what a tarot card reader or what an astrologer needs to say in order to get clients. And it gives you a very valuable perspective, I think.
And, you know, like a lot of sort of, you know, the sales and marketing techniques that are taught in, you know, more wider business programs don't really gel with our audiences and our communities. Like if we started using some of those sales tactics, like I think that would actually turn people off.
Sure.
And so I do think it's so important to have, a foot in both camps where you get like what's important to your community, and then you can translate, you know, those sales and marketing techniques in a way that's going to really appeal to your community and that your community will respond to, and not like be totally irked about, like, you know, oh, why are you trying this? Like, you know, you're being all salesy, sleazy, yuck.
Right. I mean, what are some, maybe just obviously people should check out the videos, but in terms of what you've talked about in the videos, what are some things that maybe are more authentic that people should be doing just to give them idea of what you're talking about that might be different from a, like a traditional sales technique?
Yeah, I find like one of the most powerful and yet like simple things is to get really clear about who it is that you want to serve. Mm-hmm. And so that might be, you know, thinking about your dream client. Perhaps it's already someone that you've worked with, or maybe it's kind of a bit of like a mishmash of different people. And when you're thinking of that dream client, it's like, who do you do your best work with? Who is the type of client that walks away from that experience with you going, wow, like that was powerful. And then starting to get really clear about knowing that dream client, like what are some of the biggest struggles that they have? What are their biggest challenges? And then, you know, how can you help them resolve some of those challenges? Because what I've seen is that when we know our dream clients, we know who we want to serve, then doing things like writing blog posts, writing newsletters, creating new products, creating new, you know, reading types, all of that sort of stuff becomes so much easier because we're talking to, you know, one type of person and we're really appealing to what matters most for them. And then I think, you know, if you're starting to get a lot clearer in your communications and who you're appealing to, then you can leave behind all these nightmare clients that you have. So, you know, like I always cringe when someone asks me like, when will I meet my future husband and what will he look like? I'm like, oh, right. I don't want to read on that. That's not me. And so now, you know, like my book a tarot reading page is very clear about who I, you know, who I do my best work with, who gets the most value out of my readings and who doesn't. Like I'm so clear that I do not do like fortune telling readings. And it's good because now I attract folks who I know I can do awesome readings for. And the folks who want like more predictive style readings will go to other readers and that's perfectly okay. So, you know, the takeaway there is like just get very clear about who it is that you want to work with.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense because then you don't waste time attempting to talk to an audience who isn't even the people that are coming to your website or what have you, or waste time, you know, talking about your own ideal sort of image of who you think might be showing up, but instead focusing instead on who is actually coming to you or who you would like to come to you rather than just who happens to show up.
Absolutely. And I think what I often see is when I suggest to people, okay, let's think about like who your dream client is. And but oftentimes people go, oh, but I just want to serve everyone. I want to help everyone, which is like, I really, gorgeous. But it's very hard to serve everyone. Your message will just be completely blurred and it won't really appeal to certain people, if you know what I mean. You're kind of just trying to reach everyone and it, not as effective.
Sure. And I mean, that raises actually a separate issue, which is kind of interesting as another parallel, which is just that in the astrological community, there's different approaches, or there's different people that specialize in different things, or different people that conceptualize astrology as working in different ways, and therefore have very different things that they're shooting for, different outcomes that they're attempting to make happen in a consultation. And that raises a question for me in terms of tarot as a field, which is how do you personally conceptualize tarot and how it works and why it works, or how do you conceptualize what you're trying to do in a consultation?
Yeah, it's a good question. And in fact, this is something that I encourage like all tarot readers to figure out for themselves, because, you know, you could speak to me and I'll share with you like how I see it, but sure. You could speak to another reader and they'll share a completely different way of seeing it, which is really good.
Sure.
I think it's great to have that diversity. So for me personally, I see tarot as a way of harnessing or sort of accessing like what's going on right now, like what are the energies around us right now, mm-hmm. and where might those energies take us in the future? And then to layer on top of that, I think that it's important we acknowledge, you know, what our desired outcomes are. So, and then how can you actually achieve those desired outcomes? Because I don't believe that our future is set in stone. I don't think it's predetermined, like, you know, it's sort of that day-to-day level. And so I always think that you can change it. You've got free will, you can change things. So if you really want something to happen a certain way, then I think the tarot cards will show you, okay, well, this is the kind of energy that's around you right now. And in order to manifest that desired outcome, here are the kinds of things that you need to do in order for that to occur. Sometimes I do add in, you know, that little bit of predictive element. So what might you experience over, say, the next 6 months? Mm-hmm. And I tend to use that to help people see, well, this is kind of where things are heading. Now, if that's where you want to go, fantastic, keep doing what you're doing. But if you don't want to be heading down that path, then you need to think about how to change things up as well. So I think tarot has to be very fluid. And I think we have to allow our clients the room to make, you know, make their own decisions, and not feel that everything is just, yeah, set in stone or predetermined.
So it's much more of a process of like self-actualization and self-empowerment, rather than something that's fully deterministic or predictive or what have you.
Yeah, that's my opinion. And I think you definitely will find others who will have more of a predictive view on it. And again, I fully respect that, but yeah, that's how I work with it.
Sure. Yeah. It's funny. That's a pretty exact parallel in terms of what happens in the astrological community, in terms of the variety of different spectrums that you do see, with people's views in terms of how much things are predetermined and what you should do as a result of that, or to what extent you can change things or attempt to change things in the future, but also just in terms of the way that you frame it in terms of what is happening right now or what are the energies right now is also very similar in terms of that's sort of what astrologers do in terms of looking at where the planets are right now and where they might be in the next 6 months or what have you. So it seems like perhaps that's where some of the parallels that I've noticed are coming from, is just from the fact that from a practical or a procedural standpoint, a lot of what we're doing is very same or very similar, even if we're approaching it through completely different means. That could be the source of that, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think also it comes down to like your personal philosophies of life, you know, like, and I think like it's really important as a reader to connect with what that is. And perhaps, you know, you and I use our different modalities in a similar way because we see life in a similar way, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah. And then sometimes you can attract sort of clients to you that will have a similar mindset, at least most of the time. And at least if you're presenting yourself clearly in terms of what your view is, then you'll find people who you can probably help most effectively because they do have a similar view in terms of what is in their control or what they want to do with their life or how much they want to attempt to take things into their own hands in order to change things.
Yeah. And because, I mean, you know, readers like you and I will do our best work when we're working with people who are, you know, self-empowered or self-actualized. and we may not do our best work when someone's looking for an answer or, you know, looking for someone to tell them what to do. So yes, like as a reader, getting very clear on, you know, your style will help attract the right people and then help you to do like ace work.
Sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. Well, that really gives me some insight into that. And I'm trying to think of if there are any other questions that I had in terms of just what tarot is and how to explain it to somebody that doesn't have any background in it. Like a lot of astrologers, I know for myself personally, I initially got into astrology and tarot at the same time, but I realized that they were both such sort of, or at least that astrology was such a vast field that if I really wanted to master it or become as good at it as I wanted to be, I would really have to focus all of my attention towards that. And so I didn't pursue tarot as much as I could have. I mean, how would you go about, or what would you say to somebody that was interested in pursuing tarot and learning about it and becoming proficient in it? Where would you start, or what kind of steps would you take?
Well, I'd definitely start with the Tarot for Nations course. Just kidding.
Sure.
I don't know, of course. I would recommend my the courses that I teach. But look, if you've got like a deck of cards, a tarot cards, and they've been sitting in a drawer for a while and you're like, oh my goodness, there's 78 of them. I can't, like, how am I meant to learn all the meanings? You know, the easiest way of working with those cards is work with the pictures. So, you know, draw one card, have a look at the picture. And, you know, even just start telling a bit of a story about what you see in the picture. Let's see. So the Eight of Pentacles comes to mind. And in this picture, there's a man. He's etching like pentacles into these coins. And he looks like he's concentrating very hard. And there's, you know, seven more that he's worked on. So you start describing what you're seeing in that picture. And then you think, okay, well, what's like, what does that picture really mean for me? Oh, well, maybe I'm working on something and I'm concentrating and I'm committed to my work. Okay, well, that's probably the message for me in that card, to keep really focused. And it's, you know, it's just a nice, easy way of connecting with your cards without having to have all this background knowledge about, you know, what the pentacle really means, you know, the symbolism of it and so forth. I mean, that stuff's really helpful, you know, at a later stage when you've got more headspace for it. But if you just want to like get in there and start playing with your tarot cards, work with the imagery.
Okay. So it's about at its core, it's about interpreting the symbolic significance of the images.
Yeah, and kind of like, you know, once you start telling the story, then think about, well, what's the moral of the story? What's the message here? That way you can pick up a card and, you know, almost instantly understand what it means. And like, I've tried this out with my husband, so he doesn't, he's not into tarot at all, but sometimes I just test out my, you know, teaching methods with him.
Sure.
And I'll show him a card. I'm like, what do you reckon this means? And he'll start telling the story. I'm like, this is good. Very interesting. It's a helpful way of picking up quite quickly.
Were you already well into tarot by the time that you two got together? Or was that a transition that you started making after you, obviously professionally you got into it after you'd been married, but how did he feel about that transition?
Yeah, look, it had been a hobby when we met. It was certainly in its hobby phase. Okay. And I think, you know, he was curious but didn't really dig it, as in, you know, didn't believe in it. But then I think, you know, certainly in the last few years he's seen you know, the how I'm growing it as a business. And now, I mean, like, he's a stay-at-home dad. I'm working on the business. I'm supporting the whole family with the income from the business. And so, yes, he's very grateful that, you know, he can have all of this time with his family as a result of what I'm creating at Biddy Tarot. So, yeah, now he's very supportive.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's another one of those issues that I'm interested in just from a sociological standpoint, just because in both fields, certainly in astrology, I see it often where sometimes you know, you'll have somebody who's an astrologer and who's very into it, but then in terms of the people that they have relationships with, obviously you're not always going to be together with somebody else that has a similar interest or passion, and what the interface is between those two, and if that can work or if that creates too much tension because it seems too weird or what have you, or if a person, sometimes I've seen people who were already in a long-term relationship, but then they get interested in astrology as sort of a hobby and they get more and more interested in it, but their partner, you know, might not be as interested or might be reluctant or might have a negative view on it, and what sort of tensions that might create in the relationship and things like that. So I didn't want to sort of probe too deeply into your personal life necessarily, but it's just another one of those issues that's interesting to me just because being a sort of fringe field, I can see the parallels or how there would be parallels in terms of the types of scenarios that come up in a person's life just as a result of pursuing something like that and making it an important part of your life.
Yeah, and I mean, I've heard some really sad stories of like where someone's partner is just so anti them using tarot cards, for example, and you know it does become such a point of tension in the relationship. And I think that's really sad about the relationship, that you can't give each other space to pursue what's important to you. I would be sort of questioning the values and principles of the relationship if that was the case. But I don't know. It's just sad if you can't practice something that you're really connected to.
Sure. I mean, it's just tough. I mean, because I can also understand how, from an outsider's perspective, I think most of the time, you know, when you step back from some of these things, you realize how weird it sounds if you had absolutely no experience with it and you didn't realize that it actually worked or that there was some validity to it. It might sound like a tremendously weird thing to pursue, especially with as much time and effort and energy as we put into it. But I guess that's where it's important for perhaps people to have at least enough openness to actually look into it genuinely and see if there is anything into it before just rejecting it out of hand because it sounds weird or made up or what have you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sure. All right. Well, I think that is pretty much covers all of the main points that I wanted to talk about. So thanks a lot for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. And just to mention again, so you're going to be launching, because I think that's really one of the most interesting things, aside from your courses, aside from your tarot courses and your ebook, is that you're launching this professional development course in October. So I just wanted to mention that again. And you said, what was the date on that again?
So the doors for enrollment will close on October 1. And right now there's an early bird special. So if you can get in before September 23, you'll save $500. So I definitely recommend if it's something that might be of interest to you, then check it out, you know, in the next week or so, depending on when you're listening, of course. And, you know, take advantage of that early bird saving.
Okay, excellent. Well, everyone can check out your website, which is biddytarot.com, which I'll have the link to. And then the link or the URL for the professional development course was what again?
So that one can be accessed via tarotfoundations.com/GYTBO. So that's short for Grow Your Tarot Business Online. Or if you'd like to sign up for the free business training videos that are available right now, you can sign up at tarot-business-videos.
Okay, excellent. Awesome. Well, good luck with all of that. And thank you very much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure to talk with you.
Thanks so much. And thanks to everyone who's listening. I really appreciate, you know, your energy and your attention.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are actually going to be very excited about this and perhaps will become more interested in looking into tarot as a result of this conversation. So I'm glad we were able to do it.
Wonderful. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. Well, thanks and have a good day.
Thank you too.
All right. Well, that's it for the Astrology Podcast. If you like this episode, then please be sure to give it a 5-star rating on iTunes, and we'll see you next time.